Again, I should call your attention to the gospel according to St. Luke, out of the first chapter. I'm going to read again starting at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am a Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." The base of those verses, I like to use a thought or subject this morning: suffering the consequences of questioning God. Suffering the consequences of questioning God. Every day, it's been said, it's a day of thanksgiving. And there is not a person living, especially anyone under the sound of my voice right now, that does not have something to thank God for. There's not a person in this church house this morning that have not did something wrong in your life. Every one of us at some point have fallen short on God. We have been out of fellowship with God. We have been in a position where we know if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, that we'd be lost this morning. There are those in here this morning that know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was the mighty hand of God that reached down into their sick room, touched their feeble bodies, and let them know that he's still a healer, a doctor, and a keeper this morning. And yet there are those that are yet suffering this morning. Some suffer because they bring things on themselves. Some suffer because they're things that have been laid in their hands that they have no control over. And I wonder this morning, when we are dealt a hand that we don't know what to do with, what do we do at that point? There are those that call on their friends. There are those that call on their parents. There are those that turn to other avenues to try to find peace of mind. But I find that if you would just learn to call on the name Jesus, that name will bring you answers. That name will bring a solution to every problem that you might have. Now, there are times that God brings the solution and we don't understand the solution. So we still are in the midst of thinking that God has not answered our prayer. But God is able to answer our prayer. Anytime you ask God something, you ought to believe that he's going to do just what he said he's going to do. And I serve a God that I thank God that he is such a merciful God that he looks beyond all of our faults. God hears our every cry. And there's a song that says, "One more time, the Lord has allowed us to come together." And after coming together, I must say that I'm glad to be in your midst. There's something about the people of God. There's something about our extended family, the body of Christ, that we sort of get strength one from another. That's why we come to the house of God, because I know that I can serve God at home. But the Bible say, do not forsake assembling yourselves together, because when we come together, your strength and my strength, it can work together, and then we can accomplish some things. There are some things that you're going to have to ask God for yourself. And in asking God, you got to believe God for yourself. But isn't it good to know that you got a brother or sister in Christ that want the same thing that you want? They want to live better. They want to please God. They want to be where God can use them. We have a whole lot of folk that think that it's something going to just drop out of the sky and just miraculously make everything all right. But don't you know, even though you still got to ask God for what you want. As believers, we got to stay prayed up so we can keep encouraging our brothers and sisters that it's going to be all right. Why would you allow your light to go dim when everything began to go wrong? Don't let your light go out. Keep on holding up the light. If you believe that Jesus is the light of the world, then your light will never go out. You got a light that you don't have to worry about. You got a light that is so radiant that it can light up the whole world. Have you ever noticed how sometimes somebody can just have a wonderful, beautiful smile and it just sort of makes you feel good on the inside? You might even be going through something, but because of that individual smile, because of the way that they're carrying themselves, it makes you feel like, I believe I can make it. And then have you ever noticed that some of those that you know they've been on a bed of affliction and you see them and they're not complaining, they're going about their everyday lives and they're still lifting up the mighty name of Jesus. They're not complaining about what they already done gone through. We got so many folk that want a lot of self-pity. Well, a lot of folk want somebody to pat them on the back and to do everything for them. But isn't it good to just know that if I don't have nobody but Jesus? See, I found out that that's more than just mere words. You know how it is when we were growing up and you heard somebody say, as long as I got the Lord, I don't need nobody else. But how many of you have lived long enough and gone through enough that you understand what that means now? See, there are times in the church house where we say what we heard. But until you experience it in your own individual life, you cannot concur with what they're talking about. But when you have actually gone through some things in your life and you look around and you see that it had to be God that stepped in, when you realize that if it had not been for God, I wouldn't even be able to open up my mouth this morning. We serve a God that can take a bad situation and turn it around for our good. There are times when we have to wait. Wait on your deliverance. You got to wait on your healing. You got to know that it's not just going to always be instamatic. There are those of us that think that all I got to do is call on Jesus and the Lord is going to come. But every now and again, you got to wait on that blessing. And as you wait on the blessing, what you got to understand is you can't be tricked by the devil. Because while you're waiting on your blessing, the devil is trying to convince you that God is not hearing your humble cry. The devil is trying to put other things in your way to get you distracted so that you won't see your blessing come. Some of you got so much noise in your house, you can't hear God. God speaks in a small, still voice. So sometimes we got to turn some of that noise down. Sometimes we just got to steal away, even in the midst of the whole family. Everybody talking, everybody having a good time and socializing. But I think right now I just got to sit here and meditate. I got to think about God. I got to think about what I need God to do. Have you ever been in a room of a crowd of people and they've been talking and doing all kinds of things, but in your mind you are talking to God? You see him and you hear him, but you're talking to God. Don't never get to a place where you can't talk to your God. I thank God that even though sometimes we have to wait, there are situations where God blesses right now. Somebody in here this morning know that they stand in need of a blessing. And the devil got you thinking that it's going to come after a while. Watch that devil. There's something God going to do for you right now. And the thing is, you might not be able to see it, but you ought to be able to feel it. You ought to feel a change going on down on the inside. How many of you ever said, if I was like I used to be? Come on, church. Come on, church. Nobody changed in here yet? Are you still like you used to be? When you grow in grace, it still don't make you perfect. But you can remember where you come from. And everybody in here got somewhere that they come from. Everybody in here done said some things they shouldn't have had no business saying. Everybody in here done thought some things they didn't have no business thinking. So don't act like you all holy this morning. The more honest you be with yourself, the more your blessings are going to come through. You serve a God that can look right through you. You can tell man anything. You can go through the motions. You can shout and fall out in the floor and don't have nothing. And then you can sit there and never move a muscle. Never let a tear fall out your eye. Never lift up your hands. But in the depths of your heart, you got so much love. You got so much power, and you got so much power of God ministering that you realize that God is right there by your side. We got to stop pointing the finger at those that don't praise him like you praise him. Everybody's not going to shout and jump up and down like me. But that don't mean that the same God that gave me the ability to jump up didn't put it in your heart. When you sat there and you said, don't take all of that, you questioning God. How you know what it takes for somebody else? It don't take all that for you because you don't want to do it. But get out of the way! Let somebody else praise him. The Bible said that God is going to build him up a nation that will obey. Talking about our babies. Some of us done got too far. We too stubborn. We too hard-headed. We can't do much with us. But our babies, we got an opportunity. That's why we try to work with them now. To sort of get in the depths of their minds and into their hearts. And it's up to us to walk a walk in the front of them. To let them know that we serve a living God. We serve a God that will hold us to what we've done on this side of life. When we say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We got to know that those words are true. As we move along into this great holiday season, we reflect on the fact that the birth of Jesus, it was no accident. It didn't just happen. But Jesus was born for a purpose. Before he was born, God paved the way. God made proper provisions for Jesus to come into the world and to be accepted. The old great prophet Isaiah made mention of the birth of Christ. For we find in Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah was letting the people know that because of their arrogance, God's answer for the world was through a child. His own son. The kings of Judah did not have the power to do what Jesus did. They were not a mighty God. Then Isaiah speaks of the suffering of Jesus. The Bible says, who have believed our report, and to whom of the arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah is talking about Jesus. He's talking about, prophesizing about the fact that this Jesus that you know, even though he's a savior, even though he's wonderful, even though he's the Prince of Peace, he didn't come to the world as a king. And after coming to the world, he had to suffer. Isaiah says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and he's acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look at what Jesus has done. Surely, he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible said, with his stripes, we are healed. But after Jesus did all of that, Isaiah, looking at us, says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, afflicted, but yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. The Bible says he still didn't open up his mouth. So we see when Isaiah talks about Jesus, we found out that Jesus was talked about before he even came into the world. When we get into the New Testament, we find that there was another man by the name of John the Baptist that was the forerunner, and he paved the way and came into the world preaching repentance. The Bible said, for as much as many have taken in hand, set forth that which are more surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, from which the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee the order, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest by the name of Zacharias. Zacharias had a wife by the name of Elizabeth. They were righteous before God, walking in all of his commandments and ordinances, and the Lord found no fault in them. They didn't have any children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. In other words, they were old folk now. But it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his courts, it was according to the custom of the priest's office that his lot was to burn incense. Here we have Zacharias the priest standing there burning the incense. And as he went into the temple of the Lord, the whole multitude of the people, they were praying without at the time of the burning of incense. The Bible said there appeared unto him an angel. And this angel of the Lord stood on the right hand of the altar of incense. Zacharias saw him and he was troubled. Fear came upon him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isn't it amazing how when we don't know what is around us, There are some things that can frighten us. There are some things that will make us be afraid. But here we have a man of God that is standing in the house of God burning incense. And an angel comes and stands by him, and the Bible declares he got troubled in his spirit. Well, now, the Bible says, Isaiah recorded as we read in Sunday school this morning, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So in other words, Isaiah let him know that God will always be right there. But I'm wondering why Zacharias didn't understand at this moment that God was already right there. The Bible said, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife, Elizabeth, she's going to bear you a son. And thou shalt call his name John." Look here. The Bible says that the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." So now, here we have an old man. And even though he's old, he's still praying to God. "Lord, I don't have an heir. Lord, I need me a son to carry on my name. Lord, I know that I'm old and I know that my wife is old, but I need you to stop by and bless us." Well, now, when you ask God for something, Charles, you ought to be ready for it. Look here. The Bible said, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at the birth of your son. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall not drink any strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Zacharias is acting like some of us, asking God for something, and then when God tells you, "I'm going to give it to you," then he questions God. Did you not hear? Zacharias was praying. The angel said, "God heard your prayer." And then the angel started telling Zacharias, "You're going to have a son, and you need to name that son John, and he's going to be holy, and you need to do this, and he's going to be all right." Look at Zacharias. Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife well stricken in ye." Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to know why we got so many Zachariases this morning. Always got to know why. Always got to ask God why. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I come to tell you I'll be satisfied. I don't care how you bless me. I don't care when you bless me. All I know is I stand in need of a blessing. And I want to let somebody know this morning that you better trust the power of God. You better know that the Lord God is on your side. You better not be like Zacharias, for Zacharias asked God for something. And when God got ready to give it to Zacharias, Zacharias said, "Don't you know, Lord, I'm an old man, and my wife is stricken in years." But the angel answered and said unto him, "I am Gabriel. I am a representative of God. I come to tell you good tidings. I got some good news to tell you. Don't worry about being an old man, because I serve a God that can make anything happen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. God can make anything happen in your life. Before you go on into this life, you better trust the power of God." But the Bible said that the angel told Zacharias that you are going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until after this child has come to pass. The reason why? Because you question God. You cannot question God. When you question God, you're going to suffer.
the consequences. When you talk about suffering this morning, you better know that there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to feel pain and distress. There's going to be a time when you're going to feel at a disadvantage. There are going to be consequences. There are going to be things and conditions that happen because of what you brought on yourself. I stopped by to tell somebody that you're going to suffer the consequence when you begin to question God. Don't be like Zacharias. Don't question God. For the Bible says he could not open up his mouth. But after the child had been conceived, after the child had been born, God came and loosed his tongue and made everything all right. I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you need anything from God, all you got to do is trust God and make a way out of no way. For the Lord is by my side. I thank God this morning that the Lord will do what he said he'd do. I'm glad this morning to know that God is by my side. You better know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord will do what you ask him to do. Anybody asking God this morning to come into your life, God will step by your side. He'll make a way out of no way. But when you ask God to step in, don't question God as to why. Lord, why did you bless me like this? Lord, why did I have to go through that? And when I go through my hard time, it just gives God an opportunity to show me his power. God has all power. All power is in the hand of God. And if you trust God, you can't just lean on your own understanding. But you got to trust the power of God. You got to know that God hears your every cry. And there are going to be some consequences that you are going to have to suffer when you question God, when you pull God's word apart, and when you say that there is no God. You got to trust God this morning with everything that you got. And when you ask God for something, know that God will give you just what you ask him for. He's that kind of God this morning. He will give you everything you need and a whole lot of what you want. But did not the Bible say he would give you even the desires of your heart if you trust in him? But we got to have faith. We got to believe that God would do just what he said that he would do. Zacharias realized that I'm now going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed with a son. I already know his name. Not going to be Zach Jr. But the Lord said, name him John. See, some of us get so caught up, stick our chest out wanting us a junior, and then you don't act like a good senior. The Lord knew what he was doing. He already knew that John would be a servant of the Most High. He said, I'm going to bless that child to where that child is going to always love the Lord. That child is going to draw other people to the Lord thy God. He's going to be the one that paved the way for the Savior to come. You see, John the Baptist had a miraculous birth. Just like Jesus, out of nowhere, God comes and steps in because he heard the cry of this old man and this barren woman. And he let them know that I'm God. I don't care how old you are. If you ask me for something and I want you to have it, I can make it happen. That's the kind of God we serve this morning. He can make it happen. And after he made it happen, John did just what he was supposed to do. Every one of us, you may not know your purpose in life right now, but just ask God. He will teach you. He will show you what it is that he would have you to do as a servant of the Most High. But all he wants us to know this morning is that you're going to suffer the consequences
for questioning God. Let God be God. You be man, you be woman, but let God be God. He's your creator. He's your keeper. And he's the one that has promised never to leave you nor to forsake you. And whenever fear steps in your life, remember the words of the prophet, fear thou not, for God is with you. He will help you. He will hold you up with his right hand. He will keep you just where you need to be. But when you ask him for something, don't question his answer. Just say, yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I say yes to the will of God.